Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio.
And welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio. I'm your host, Russell Hartman. I know I'm back. I know you guys had to deal with Kevin last week. I hope he treated you all well, but I have returned. And thank you all for welcoming me back. Kevin, how's it going, man?
You know, it's going. Just, you know. In the car, can't miss this show, so I might as well give you a little car phone for the time being until I'm back in my seat. How's it going with
Kevin,
you?
Kevin, where were you? Tell the viewers, tell the listeners what you were doing that, you know, you're not at your desk right now talking to us.
Well, I'm sorry I can't have personal matters I don't want to discuss with other people that I've never seen in person besides, like, three of them.
That's true. But Kevin, thank you for joining us. John Luke Shapiro will be joining us very shortly as the trio is back together this week. Again, my apologies, everyone, for last week. I was a bit busy taking care of things, but here we are. We're going to discuss.
It's okay.
Something.
Russ, it's fine. You don't have to be on the show every single time.
Yeah, but, you know, people like to hear my voice, Kevin. I know you like to hear my voice.
It's very soothing. I give you that. I do like hearing it, you know. You know, have an audio recording if I have a bad dream, wake up, and just you saying, good morning. And that's it.
I know,
and then I feel better.
I know. Well, soon enough, I'm going to be releasing an audiobook series, Kevin, of all the Game of Thrones novels.
Out.
So you can listen
to
me.
The album comes out July 24th.
July
24th. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. Well, as you can all tell, it's going to be
back.
Let me start it off. Whoa. Big guy, you host once and you want to start it off?
Let me pose a question to you.
Okay. Go ahead.
So we saw Capo Caco in action. He had the first goal of this championship tournament between the greatest hockey countries in the world, including England for some reason. And he scored the first goal. It was a beauty. It was a hard-fought battle. People say the defense was bad. Yeah, but he took a good opportunity for poor coverage. And he has a breakaway, and now everybody's going crazy. Capo Caco, oh, he's going to go first in the draft. Devil's going to choose him. Can you explain to the listeners why Jack Hughes is going to go before Capo Caco?
Can I explain to the listeners why Jack Hughes is going to go, you said, before Capo Caco? Is that what you're
before
telling me?
Before Capo, I feel like there's like a 5% chance that the Devils are going to like be stupid and take Caco versus Jack Hughes,
who has
all of these connections with the Devils organization already.
It might not be so stupid down the line. We don't know how these careers are going to go, but I would say that we don't have to worry too much. I mean, look at it this way. Oh, before I go into this, please welcome, give us a round of applause. The host of the late program has decided to join us. He's here all the way from Scranton. The very host of the late program himself, new employee of Dunder Mifflin, Mr. John Luke Shapiro. How are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, my gosh, Russ. If you gush about me any more like that, then I'm going to have to pay you. Thank you, guys. How's it going?
Oh, is that so? You can pay me too, Jay. I mean, like, I'm not opposed to some money.
Well, Kevin, you didn't jump on the bandwagon, so therefore you don't get paid.
There's no bandwagon to jump on. I was John Luke Shapiro fan number one from day one. So I don't need to hear this.
I think we're forgetting who the real John Luke Shapiro fan from day one is, and it's me, okay? I love this guy.
Fine.
He's a great guy. Kevin jumped on my bandwagon here, all right?
You knew JL first, so I guess technically you
I did, and I'll put it this way. If you don't know JL, if you don't know him personally, you're missing out on a great human being. I just want to put that out there in the world.
Russ, thank you so much. Again, I just want to say I did not pay him to make those statements.
Okay, so now for the reason why people actually listen to us talk on here for 45 minutes every 2 weeks. So let's discuss. Kevin presented me a question, JL. He asked me why. Kevin, repeat your question, actually. Go ahead.
So, JL, I posed the question, you know, we all saw Capo Caco in action today. And, you know, a lot of people, including Rangers fans, are saying, oh, Capo looks so great. You know, he was great with the puck. He had good body. You know, great defensive play for the empty netter at the end of the game. Great breakaway goal for the first goal of the whole tournament. People starting to think that he might get picked by the Devils. Why is Jack Hughes going to get picked by the Devils and not Capo Caco?
Okay.
Just to ease the burdens a little bit.
So let's put it this way, okay? Capo Caco had an amazing tournament opening game. Probably the best result we all could have hoped for, short of a hat trick, okay? I mean, the guy steps onto the ice as an 18-year-old with the Finnish national team against a very good Canadian team, I might add, that featured John Lamarchessault, Mark Stone, among others. So they're not pushovers. And what does he do? Gets named player of the game, scores a beautiful breakaway goal by force, basically getting a great pass, scores a great empty net goal. Now, you could say great empty net goal. Whoa, it was an empty net goal. But look at what he did before the empty net goal. He forced a turnover, made a really nice play, potted his second of the game, and there's a great clip. Also, shout out to AJ Ranger, Mr. Alex Nunn. The guy is just churning out clips for everyone, so just a big round of applause for him. As we say almost every week, we're saying now because the guy's just giving us highlights. But Alex clipped a great clip of Kako with the puck, just playing keep away with Darnell Nurse. Now, Darnell Nurse is a big guy. He's a top four defenseman in the NHL, and in this clip, you see Darnell Nurse trying to get the puck from Kako. He can't do it. Brandon Montour even tries to come into the frame. He tries to get the puck from Kako. That doesn't work either. I mean, the kid just had a great opening game of the tournament, showed exactly what he can do with his hands, with his size. Awesome, right? You'd think, wow, his stock is really going up. Maybe the Devils will actually do it. But then you have to remember who's on the other side here, okay? You have to remember on the other side is a kid who averaged 2 points a game in the USHL. You have to remember, this is a kid who broke every single record in the USMTDP, breaking guys' records like Austin Matthews, Clayton Keller, Patrick Kane. The only thing he didn't break was goals in the season, and Cole Caulfield did that, who was basically his running mate and owes a lot of his goals to Jack Hughes. So as good as Capo Caco has been, as good of an opening game that he did have, and yes, some people are saying maybe it's a little closer than we thought, but you're not going to pass on the franchise center. I just don't see it happening with how good of a year Jack Hughes had, which only bodes well for us. I mean, Kako had an amazing game today. JL, Kevin posed this question, so he'll answer last here. What do you think? Do you think that the gap has gotten a little closer, or do you think people are blowing this a little bit out of proportion and that it's still safe to say that Kako will be on the New York Rangers come June 21st?
I think they're blowing it out of proportion because you have to look at the needs assessment for both teams. So yeah, if let's just say the Rangers end up picking Jack Hughes. Okay, let's just say theoretically speaking, Kako goes to New Jersey. So then what would end up happening is one of the many few Ranger centers not named Mika Zibanejad is gonna play center, or is gonna play wing rather. But it doesn't really help the Devils in any way that they decide to pick a winger, because the one thing that they lack the most is center depth. So if you're going to tell me that the Devils are going to be stupid enough to pass up on a guy who's breaking all these records for the United States National Development Team, all because, you know, who's their second line center? Travis Dajac. Ideally, you'd want to bump him down to your third line and you just throw Jack Hughes on number two and have Hughes play first line center. So ideally, I don't think it's really much of an argument anymore. I just think one tweet got sent out by the Devils, and now all of a sudden everyone wants to try and troll Ranger fans. If it ends up happening, then obviously Ray Shiro has something in mind. But from right now, from what everything looks like and the way the Devils are currently constructed, he's going number one, Jack Hughes, and the Rangers will get Capo Caco at number two. It's not a consolation prize. It's perfect. It just fits perfectly.
This is usually a 1A and 1B type of situation.
Yeah, I don't think this is necessarily you know, it's just really at this point. See, the thing is now we're getting close to the draft. The Stanley Cup playoffs are close to finishing. And I just honestly think that people need something to talk about. And it doesn't help that the New Jersey Devils Twitter account is showing clips of both the plays of Kevin Kako. Gosh.
Kevin Kako.
Yeah, shut up, Kevin. they're showing stuff of Capo Caco and Jack Hughes, and it's just turning Twitter into a tizzy. And then you got Larry Brooks saying in his article came out today saying that, well, he's going to look good next to Nico Hischier. Like, come on. Really? Come on.
It's just
can't see it.
That's what it is. It's glorified clickbait, and it's just, oh, how many people can react to a post before it goes viral? It's just, it's dumb. The post isn't what it used to be. I mean, like,
yeah.
Ever since the internet came along and, you know, really started to take hold of, you know, sports media and sports, you know, entertainment.
And it's
just, you know, it's a cry for just like, hey, look at me kind of crap.
Yeah, no, so, agreed. And look at, like I said, you know, the fact that we're still in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the draft is clearly
about a month away.
So it's over a month away. So you have all this time to, if your team is not in the playoffs, then you have all this space in between to, you know, unless your team is making organizational changes like the Rangers would potentially do and maybe hiring a president, or if your team is hiring a new GM, then there's really nothing going on with your team. And especially with the New Jersey Devils, with them, nothing's really going on for them right now outside of getting the number one pick. And then you look at the New York Rangers who, you know, like myself and like everybody else, we're all anticipating the future to come. So all this stuff is just coming up and all these arguments are coming through. And I just think it's ridiculously absurd and just kind of self-serving and unnecessary.
Well, no, I completely agree.
If you think about it here, I mean, look, you have a guy who's also, and let's be real here. There's a center bias in the NHL. If someone's a center iceman, they get looked at more than the wingers do, which is, I understand why. The center's on the ice more, controls the play more. But the biggest thing here,
the center's,
you know,
also kind of looked at as the third defenseman. He really is the first
guy
back.
Yeah,
he's more defensively responsible than anybody else on the than besides.
Now, there
the
was a tweet
like, out of the
there
home.
Was a tweet sent out today. I forget exactly who sent it out, but apparently the tweet said, this kind of added fuel to this whole fire too, that someone with a source on the inside said that if it was any other team besides the New Jersey Devils with the first pick, that it would be a toss-up still. Now, what's interesting about that is that the Devils do have ties to Hughes. John Hines is currently coaching Jack Hughes at the World Championships. He's an assistant coach with Team USA. The Devils also have some family connections with him, although I'm not sure what the exact connection is because I'm not up to date on the Devils, things like that.
To a
something
certain
like
extent.
Well, I think there's something like,
so it's like your MVP player
within the organization has
the
some family pick. Connection with him as well. But point being that Jack Hughes will be going to the New Jersey Devils first overall. Book it. It's going to happen. They need a center to play behind Hischier. Look at how Ray Shiro builds his teams also. Look how he built the team in Pittsburgh. Two dominant centers down the middle, and you build around them. That's what he's building in New Jersey. Two dominant centers in Hughes and Hischier, and you build around them for the future. So, book it. Hughes is going one. Cock will be coming two to the New York Rangers. And don't worry about it. Simple as that. It's being blown out of proportion from some clickbaity stuff from some people. And that's all you need to worry about, people. I mean, if, you know, Cock will be a New York Ranger. So I don't think that's anything that honestly warrants further discussion here. But moving on, I would like to talk about exactly what Capo Caco did today. Now, did both of you see the game before we get into this?
I saw highlights because, you know, people work during the day, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I saw the important stuff. I saw what he was doing with the puck. I saw how he controlled the puck. And the biggest takeaway from it was, like you said before, I don't know if it's JL and Russ, that he's playing with men. And not just any men. He's playing with the best Canadians that aren't in the playoffs right now or the ones that aren't hurt. So there was that crazy stat of, all of these goals scored by the Canadian players tallied up versus the Finnish players, and Capo Caco had two of the goals in the game out of the four, right? 3-1 final. And
correct.
It just goes to show, it's just, you know, he's a big bodied winger. He obviously has the skill set and the physicality to be an NHL ready player, and he showed that today. And don't get me wrong, like, Finland produces good talent. You know, Patrick Laine is on the Winnipeg Jets. He was just picked, what was it, third overall a couple years ago?
Patrick Laine was picked second overall, Kevin. Shame on you. Shame on you, Kevin.
I'm sorry. They get bundled up when the Rangers are in the playoffs so much. I'm not used to this. But I mean, like, Finland produces, like, solid NHL players, but it's not Canada. It's not, you know, Sweden. It's not the USA to a certain extent. And so, you know, you have this big body guy and playing against the best country in the world in hockey, and he makes them look foolish. He's making it look like he's a veteran of, like, 5 years, and he's just hitting his prime against these guys. And that's why he's going to go, you know, in the top two. And that's why I posed that question, because he does look like you said, if it wasn't for, you know, the Devils, all the connections, he could be considered to be first. You can have the Nico Hischier, Nolan Patrick situation all over again, where who knows who's going to get picked first. And a lot of people are leaning Patrick, and then it ends up being Hischier. But he's just such a good player. You watch any of his highlights, and you don't even have to watch the tournament. It's just, he is just smooth. He is crisp with his passes, and he's very, very talented. He shows that he plays good. He's playing the last minute of the game. He's playing crucial minutes.
And that is an important thing to note here, that he was indeed on the ice in the last minute of the game. An 18-year-old was being trusted to play those minutes against a really good Canadian team who was pushing and almost nearly scored the equalizer. And what does he do? Makes a great play and scores the empty net for his second of the game. And Kako was also named player of the game today, which was really special for the 18-year-old. Now, Kako had a great debut. It looks like he's going to light the World Championships on fire, which would be awesome, similar to how Patrick Laine did in his draft year. So with that being said, JL, now, it's clear that the Rangers are going to get this guy at this point in time, okay? So is this the guy who, next season, does David Quinn say to him, the top six role is yours to lose, or does he make him work for just as hard as everyone in camp?
I think he has to work as hard as everyone else does. I don't think it's necessarily fair that it's given to him, because, you know, we see, you know, if you look at past stuff, you look at past players, kind of like, you know, Alexander Daigh and, you know, a lot of other draft busts that they just kind of got thrust upon there. You know, he needs to light a fire under him. He needs to tell him, look, kid, you're here. You've got the skill. You got to work for it just like everyone else. It is no exception. Absolutely talented player. I didn't get a chance to see the whole game today, but I got a chance to check out some highlights. I took a look at his goal, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It reminded me of a lot of the times, and this is going to be a weird comparison, but it reminded me a lot of when we used to watch Marion Gaborik play. And one of the things that Gaborik always did very well to me in my mind was find space past defenders, especially with that stupid speed he had. Even when he was hurt, he had amazing speed when he was healthy. So when I saw that, I got reminded of Gaborik. And he, you know, Kako has a lot more oomph to it because he's a bigger kid, and he's going to end up being a bigger player than Gaborik was. So when you see, or when I see comparisons like that, I think it's going to be great. But he's going to have to work. He will be no exception. There was nobody on the team last season that got an exception, you know. Everyone had to work hard. Everyone had to play. Everyone had to prove their worth, and everyone had to say, look, I'm going to have to play this way to, you know, play hard. And you can see that attitude started to manifest itself at, you know, towards the second half of the season, because, you know, the first part of the season, you know, even with the 9-game winning streak, they were finding their way, and, you know, they were really trying to find some kind of identity. And even though they were up and down, even after the 9-game winning streak, you could see that they were becoming a unit, because they were starting to buy into that we need to play hard to win. And, you know, Russ, we were there that one game towards the end of the season. They were playing a much better Columbus team, and these guys were
absolutely
putting it all out there. All the guys on the team, including people who you didn't expect to do well this season, like Buchnevich and Howden and all these, you know, Lemieux, all these guys that were bringing it their all. So with the way Quinn has coached this team this season, he's definitely going to have to make him earn his, you know, earn his stripes. And, you know, if he I trust that they will, you know, use him in the right way. If he ends up, you know, lollygagging or not doing well, then, you know, justifiably so, he may sit a game. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you've got to instill that hard-working culture. And David Quinn has said it over and over and over again, and we are now seeing the results in a lot of these players, and I think it'll have to happen to Kako too.
Well, and I think that's a perfect answer.
Look at it this way, man.
You know,
the whole Quinn perspective is great. It's just he has to have a bigger leash than he really does, especially in the beginning of the season. He still has to look at this next year as a rebuilding year. He has to give, like, I'm not going to say throw the top six guys of all, you know, 23 and younger. That's just ridiculous. You have to have some veteran presence on the ice. But you have to give these kids more room to grow than he's letting them. Like, we look at Elias Anderson as a perfect example, and it's hard to say because he really didn't have a good start to the year when he was up. And then he's sent down, he's brought back up, sent back down. You know, it's just it's inconsistent play. It just added to his inconsistent season. But it doesn't help that he's playing maximum 12 minutes a game, maybe. Like, he's playing fourth-line minutes with Boone Nieves and whatever grinder they want to bring up from Hartford this year. So I think with Kako, especially in the beginning of the year when he is getting used to a smaller ice surface, when he is, you know, kind of adjusting to the NHL, you know, bigger, faster style of play, that you can't just be like, oh, you didn't really perform the way I wanted you to in the first 10 games, now you're going to sit for 2 games. You can't do that with him.
No,
you want to know how to counteract that? You want to know how to counteract that? Honestly, if you're David Quinn, you want to know how you counteract that by putting him on a line with a veteran forward, or at least a veteran center. Because
well,
then at least
if you really want to get the best
out
of him,
you
put him with Mika Zibanejad.
Well, absolutely. Well,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt about that.
I agree. And obviously the same would have to apply to Elias Anderson. You know, it's unfortunate. I think I want to say Anderson played with Strom towards the end of the season. It was kind of muddy, but
all mixed up towards the end of the year. But going off that Strom point, it's like, let's say you put Anderson centering like Brendan Lemieux and, you know, Jimmy VC or something like that, or, you know, something where he has some sort of protection just so he can get a little bit, you know, more room, or even don't put him at center. Put him at the wing. Put a veteran center in the middle and just have him get used to the ice surface. You know, the AHL is such a big step, even though it's the first affiliate down. It's such a big step into the NHL because I think he had 23 points in like 36 games of inconsistent play during the season for the AHL, and he was fantastic. But he has to show that he's more of a, you know, bona fide, you know, NHL player, not just a fantastic AHL player, which is terrible to think about. The seventh overall pick that we traded for, that he's just not as good as we want him to be. It's just he's got to get more of a chance.
The same rules that they – no, I agree. And the same rules that applied to Filipino, I don't understand. Filipino ended up getting more of a leash, at least in the fans' eyes. But I guess maybe because he showed flashes of scoring. But again – A lot of people have to understand that when it comes to developing certain type of players, not all high-end draft picks are going to come off well right off the bat, especially when you get out of the 1-3 or 1-4 range. You know, those guys, it's a mixed bag. You look at Frederick Gauthier, the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was a high draft pick in the first round, and all the Toronto Maple Leafs fans expected him to be this wunderkind. He's a good player, but he's a tertiary piece player that good teams tend to have. And the problem is that they see first round, and people see first round, and they say, oh, he's not scoring 60 goals right off the bat.
They didn't produce immediately
ridiculous.
When they came into the NHL. But
but
you can say that about literally anything, any sport. You could talk about baseball, football, you know, basketball and hockey, where it's like, oh, the top 10 guy didn't do well right away. I'm shocked. Get something for him because he's garbage.
But you also look at it this way too.
A good example of that though, JL, is Brendan Lemieux. You know, he was picked
absolutely,
I think, early second round by Buffalo, traded to Winnipeg, and then traded to New York. And you know, in Winnipeg, he had a +10. He had, I think, 11 points in, I want to say, 68 games. Maybe I don't remember exactly how many games, but he was playing. His average time of ice was 8 minutes on the fourth line. And then you bring him here, you know, he has more of a role. He gets some power play time, gets some penalty kill time, obviously, and he gets to play with some better talent in like Ryan Strom, Jimmy Vesey, you know, Filip Hedl, literally just anybody. And you see that his points per game go up. Now, I'm not calling him, you know, Capo Caco. I'm not calling him Jack Hughes, but he's a good
a
good piece. You got him for what you wanted to get. He's like, he reminds me a little bit like Brandon Prust or, you know, Sean Avery where,
Prusty.
To a certain extent where it's the guy who gets in your face, he agitates the other team, but he can still score a goal on you. He can still throw a nice pass down the middle, and he can still kick your ass,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic, yeah. which I love about him. That's what I loved about him. And that's why the Rangers should sign him. If you think, you know, let him go, I think you're crazy. He could be an integral part, and he could protect, you know, the young guys like Capo and Lias and Hedl. All of these younger guys who are under the age of, you know, 21 who can't even drink yet here. It's just blasphemy. The kid scores a goal. You could at least buy him a beer or something.
Yeah, right. I mean, look at it this way. I think you guys all made great points. I think David Quinn is, of course, going to make Capo Caco earn his ice time, but I think the kid is going to earn it in spades. I think we're going to see him on the first line if not by the beginning of the season, definitely by Christmas, he's going to be on the first line with Mika Zibanejad. He's that good.
Especially if they're not scoring.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it already. We're seeing what he can do against men. We've seen it all year in Liga. And now we're seeing it at the World Championships where it's the best of the best. And the guy, he was lighting the world on fire already. So let's hope it continues over the course of the tournament. And he just further solidifies that the Rangers have a superstar on their hands. Now, another thing I would definitely like to bring to attention here is that the Rangers now, with Dallas not making the Western Conference Final and with the Tampa Bay Lightning being gone a few weeks ago, we have two picks in the first round of the 2019 NHL Entry Draft. That is, of course, number 2. And that is now pick 20. So, what do we do with that pick? This has been a very heated topic of discussion with the writers of Forever Blue Shirts. People on Twitter have been arguing about this as well. Do you use it? Do you use it to trade up? Do you package it with another player to possibly trade up? Well, my personal opinion here, for pick number 20, I think that pick should be packaged with Chris Kreider. And I think it should be offered to a team that needs scoring, a team that's maybe a little closer to the New York Rangers, and the Rangers should try to move up with that pick as best they can. Kevin posted a great article how would you say, about a week ago the article went up about Chris Kreider?
Yeah, it was very controversial because everybody told me that I knew nothing, and I'm
okay,
an idiot because,
point
you know, you don't want to pick a player.
Point being, Chris Kreider is going to get a very lengthy deal on his next contract. This is how it's going to go.
No matter what.
And if he's not re-signed this summer, it's going to drag on like the Hayes situation, the Zuccarello situation, into next season. So if the Rangers don't plan on offering him that big extension that he's probably going to be looking for, and they should be wary of that. Look at the Lucic extension. Look what happens to power forwards as they age. I think if the Rangers are willing to trade Kreider, it should be at the draft. It should be with the pick, and they should try to move up. I'm looking at a team like, you know, maybe the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim want a shot in the arm. Maybe they don't think it's over yet. Maybe a team like the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm not saying it would happen, but they're a lot closer to contention than we are. Well, you'll get there when it's your turn, Kevin. And another team I could see them possibly trading with that would fit kind of the mold would be maybe even the Florida Panthers. I could see them getting this kind of, you know, they could
are you just,
a
are
team
you just
that's a little bit
down
closer.
The draft board right now?
Actually,
is that what you're
really,
doing?
I'm just trying to think of teams that have, like, picked higher than us, and I think it would
like
work.
It's like one of those things where it's like, huh, which one should I pick?
No, I mean, I know they all pick higher, and I think they're all teams that are a lot closer to contention. It's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah.
Since they, you know, but
well,
I think that teams like that.
You saw what Boston got Lucic at the time.
True. I think that, and you know, Kreider's younger, and he hasn't had as much of an impact as Lucic had for the Bruins when he got traded. But point being, I think him packaged with a pick, yeah, of course, could net the Rangers possibly a higher pick or something else that they desire in this draft. So for me, that pick is definitely in play. But if they do decide to take that pick, boy, would I like a defenseman like Moritz Seider or possibly Cam York at that position, because that would be really cool. But since with the decision to sign Adam Fox, I mean, it's looking like they're going to go forward heavy. And in that case, God, I really hope he'd be there that late. But Arthur Kaliev would be a nice addition at number 20. Kevin, I send you, you answered last on the last question, so now you're going to answer second here. What do you think is the optimal thing for them to do with the 20th pick in this draft? You can go any direction you would like.
Okay, I'd like to go sideways and just say, no, I think trading down would be the most ideal situation for them because they're rebuilding. And you got to look, Chris Kreider is, you know, it's one more year in his contract.
You want them to trade down? Is that what you said? You want them to trade down?
I don't know. Yeah, trade down.
Or trade up, Kevin. Down?
Yeah, up,
oh,
down.
Really?
I'm looking at it as low, down as in a lower numbered pick, as in.
Oh,
up.
So you want them to trade
Sorry.
Up. Okay,
I
Kevin.
I get confused. It's lower numbers. Why is it trading up? It makes no sense. But, yeah, and you trade up to the top 10 possibly, and one of the teams that I can see would want, you know, a power forward, veteran, you know, leadership kind of guy, you know, goal scorer, can score from that same position all the time, is the Buffalo Sabres. It seems like they're always missing one key aspect that just doesn't – that just is missing from the whole entire situation. And, you know, now you have Rasmus Dahlin in the mix, and now it's his second year. So you really don't have to worry about defense as much. Like, I'm not too keen on, you know, Buffalo's defensive situation, but their offensive situation outside of Jack Eichel is – and, you know, if Jeff Skinner wants to re-sign there – it's just, it doesn't really seem like anybody. Kyle Okposo, Matt Molson isn't still there, is he? I don't remember.
Matt Molson?
But, you know,
no, I don't think he is. I think if he is, it's
no.
a problem. I don't think he's on that team
anymore,
though.
Yeah, no, but regardless, you know, Buffalo seemed like to be like the team to beat in the beginning of the year. They were contending with Tampa Bay for the top seed in the Atlantic Division. And everybody's like, oh, wow, Buffalo's really put it together with all these young guys. Jack Eichel's looking amazing. Rasmus Dahlin looks like a, you know, he's gonna just light up the world. He's the next Eric Carlson. He's better than Eric Carlson. And then they just hit a note. They just take a nosedive. You know, they don't have that extra scoring ability either on the second line, or even just put Chris Kreider in the first line. Buffalo doesn't want to turn into Edmonton, where they keep getting these draft picks and they just get younger and younger, and nothing happens with it. No one wants to be Edmonton. Because Edmonton just goes nowhere, and I give it two more years before Connor McDavid says, I'm out. You have to trade me somewhere else because I'm just not going to play. I don't want to risk injury because you guys can't put a team around me. But I'm not. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. New GM, whole new system going in, new head coach coming soon. But, you know, Jack Eichel doesn't want to be Connor McDavid, where he's put on this big deal and just has nothing to show for it. Buffalo's a little different, but, you know, than Edmonton. But at the same time, they have a similar path. They were snubbed for Connor McDavid. They you know, they had consolation prize. They just always get consolation prizes, and I feel so bad for them until last year with Rasmus Dahlin. It's just Buffalo seems like the clear-cut choice. Or even for you, Russell, Vancouver. You know, your little Canadian team besides the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know,
I think Vancouver is – I don't think Vancouver's at that point where they would do that yet.
I think
maybe another year or two.
2 years away. I think they're 2 years away from really being a threat. But, you know, Brock Besser, Peterson, you got these
now,
young guys that are, you know, producing now. Why not Ed Kreider?
JL, the 20th pick. What is your optimal situation for them to do with that pick?
Well, honestly, if we're all in the business of trading for a guy like Chris Kreider, which I honestly think is a little bit absurd, honestly, but I understand why.
You're gonna, aren't you?
Don't even get me started, Kevin. no, but if Chris Kreider is going to get traded, I don't think you package the 20th overall. Unless you're – the only way you can package that 20th overall with Chris Kreider is if you're getting a player who is going to be fighting for a spot on the NHL roster, because there have been better players who have been traded for less. So, yes, I understand that Jeff Gordon is a magician. He knows what he's doing, but I don't think he'll get a hefty return for Kreider. So that being said, if Chris Kreider is going to get traded, you select someone who has that kind of speed – that Kreider presents at 20th overall, because I maintain the same position every single time I talk about Chris Kreider, is that the Rangers need to find a guy who can replicate that speed. Will it be Kapokako? Will it be Filipino? We don't know yet. But the thing with Kreider is arguably one of the fastest players in the league. There's no doubt about that. I think and Andreas Athanasiou is probably another one that could probably be up there. You need speed in this game. Granted, Kreider probably has hands of stone outside of the fact that he can shoot a puck down the wing very well, which I saw it in person many times, and it's fantastic. But the let me turn it back a little bit. So let's go back to the summer where the Rangers traded Carl Hagelin to the Ducks for Emerson Edom. I was on the bus to go to a Met game that day, and I absolutely hated that trade from the first day on. So then they start that season, and they didn't have any.
That trade. I think that's a consensus.
Yeah.
Like,
no one
thought that was a good trade. It was just for cap issues. But
absolutely.
I don't mean to interrupt you, JL, but you're gonna sign a guy based off of speed, where typically you see these power forwards start to decline around
okay,
this time.
Okay, but what
and then
I said
have
was
the same situation with Carl Hagelin, where you're gonna trade for someone less of Chris Kreider just to get some cap relief.
The point I'm trying to make though is if they trade Kreider, I'm in the camp that they should keep him, but I wouldn't be upset if they did. The point I'm trying to make is that if you're going to trade Chris Kreider, you trade him with one of your second round picks and you use the number 20 pick, because Kreider was picked 19th. Let's remember that 2009 or 2010, if I'm correct. Kreider was picked 19th. He was in the John Tavares draft, if I'm correct. And you need to find a way to replicate that speed in the player. I'm not saying that none of the guys that the Rangers currently have are fast like him, but you need a guy like that on your team. I always maintain the position that, again, I'm going back to the story, Rangers didn't replicate the Carl Hagelin speed on that team, and they were absolutely dreadful. They were able to get into the playoffs there because they had a good first half, and Jason Megno all of a sudden started scoring goals for some reason. So, but when they played Pittsburgh in the playoffs that year, you know, with guys like Eric Staal and all these other guys who were just absolutely dreadful for them in that series, they had no speed. You had Phil Kessel, perfect example, lighting the Rangers up because he's just zooming down the wing. So even though I'm against it, I wouldn't be upset if they traded Kreider. You trade Kreider for a pick that's in like the second or third round. You package maybe two picks or whatever if you're trying to get rid of them, you know, like Russell says and all that. And then you draft in 20, you draft a guy who can replicate that speed. As again, speed is important in this game. And Chris Kreider has definitely used his speed to help the Rangers out on many occasions. So if you're going to trade him, you need to find a way to supplement that need of speed for Chris Kreider. Now, personally, do I think the Rangers should keep him? Absolutely. I'm a little crazy like that. You guys can disagree with me all you want, but you know what?
But
I don't think Kreider's going to –
You said you would trade Chris Kreider and one of the second-round picks for what exactly?
No.
What do you think
you have
you would
to trade
–
you would just trade him for either other picks or a tertiary-type player, and then what you do is with the 20th overall pick, you pick someone who has a similar skill set that you can develop to fill the gap that Kreider is going to leave. So you're essentially
That's not the question I had. The question was, what do you think you would get for a return of that? A second-round pick?
You
would get a first-round pick. You would at least go down.
If you're trading Chris Kreider and a bunch of second round picks, if you're gonna trade him for at least one or two picks with Chris Kreider, you probably get maybe an abundance of picks, or if a team doesn't deem it to be that much, you probably end up getting a couple of thirds and maybe a player in return. But either way, it's not really more of the trade return for Kreider. It's more of trading Kreider, getting rid of the contract, which I understand completely because, you know, again, this is a salary cap league and you need to have the room. And I understand that we have to, you know, they have to keep, you know, the focus on young players, which I understand. You know, I'm a passionate fan, and keeping Chris Kreider is definitely illogical. But, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing to keep him. But if you did trade him, you need to find a way to find someone in the draft at that 20th overall pick to at least fill the gap that he's going to present. Because Chris Kreider, you know, say what you want about the guy.
We're
going
to have to wait 2 to 3 years until this guy ever even shows his face close.
But again, Kevin, we have a bunch of young guys on the team that are just as fast.
Now,
so it wouldn't be too much of a loss.
If Kreider wants to sign an extension for 2 years after this, just to prove his worth, or wants to stay on the team, take a team-friendly contract, but I'm also
hey, perfect, even better. Hey, even better. Great. Do so.
But
either way, you need.
We don't live in a fantasy land where everybody gets what they want.
Children.
Boy.
Listen. Listen.
Calm down. Finally interjects after waiting.
Yeah,
you can't call me a child. I'm older than both of you guys.
I needed to listen out, but you guys are going a little crazy here. So here's the deal, right? We have
crazy
one side that wants Trey Kreider, one side that doesn't want to trade Kreider. I understand. And I love Chris Kreider. But I think you have to look at it on a cap situation. I think you can't have that
absolutely
on your books. When in a few years you're going to need to re-sign Kako, you're going to need to sign Kravtsov, Fox, Heedle, the list of the RDL guys going
Anderson
down. You know what I mean? It's going to be a lot.
Again,
and you're not going to want this
on
the books.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm essentially agreeing with that.
You're
like I said, I'm agreeing with it.
You're saying you need to replicate the speed. You're saying you need to replicate the speed, right?
If you trade Kreider, you need to replicate the speed. That's what I'm saying. I'm not against moving Chris Kreider. I'm absolutely not. It's just that at the end of the day, the team needs to find a way to replicate that speed.
So who would you say if they keep 20, who is a prospect you could see them taking there that would help them replicate that speed?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, that's a tough one. There is a lot. This is going to be my irrational selection, and I don't think he's going to drop that far. And Jim is going to hate me for saying this, but if somehow through the magical vine, if Kaliev isn't there at 20, because I saw some clips of Kaliev, you know, he's quick. He's quick enough. I don't think Vasily Podkolzin is going to make it to 20, but I mean, if he's there, you could take him. But that's something that I would have to look more into, but I think those two guys would probably be ideal.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, 20 is a good spot, I think. There's still going to be a lot of good NHL talent there. Personally, at 20, God, who would I even – I feel like the best person to target, I think Kaliev would be a good one. I think that there's a chance he falls there, and I think he'd be a really quality guy there. But if they do decide to trade Kreider, and if they did move up, and they could somehow move into the early teens, maybe a 10 or a 9 if they were getting really creative. So you have two top 10s or something around that area. I would love if they could add Matthew Boldy. Matthew Boldy would be a fantastic add. The kid has great hockey smarts, plays. He's not as crazy of a goal scorer as Cole Caulfield is, but if you're looking for a guy that's solid in 200 for the ice and can, you know, he's a little bigger size, and he's also one of these really good kids from the USNTDP. I think he'd be a really good target if they moved up. But point being, there's a lot of moving parts, and there's going to be moving parts on the draft floor. You know, picks get traded the second before teams go up on the stage. So this is going to be a very fluid situation up until draft night. Kevin, you're in the trade Kreider camp. So if they do move up, one last thing on this topic, who could you see them taking with a little bit of a higher pick in the first round?
I'm a little biased towards Cole Caulfield if they do get up that way. He's really shown, like, you know, more maturity this season, and he's really, you know, playing a lot better than a lot of people thought he did. The problem with this draft, though, is past Kaapo Kakko, it's just a toss-up. You know, you have Vitaly Podkolzin going third, or you have him going, like, 11th. It's such a hard, you know, decision to make, but I like Cole Caulfield. I like his game. I like his style, and I feel like, you know, with time, you know, playing somewhere, like, you know, not in the NHL, obviously, right away, but, you know, take time with the development. You know, we have a lot of good young forwards now, you know, people, you know, because we all, that's all we talk about. So, you know, I think that's the best thing. Like, it's just hard. It really is. And I think it just depends on who gets picked first or before him. But yes, Cole Caulfield.
You
that
like Cole
my,
Caulfield.
That is my
be,
choice.
Yeah.
I would like
I
Cole
like
Caulfield.
So,
I think everybody
consensus
likes Cole Caulfield.
Consensus, if they move up, grab one of these USNTDP wingers like Boldy or Caulfield. If they stick with 20,
absolutely,
try to get a guy like Kaliev.
He's a performer.
And
that's what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets high-level chances, and he scores, and he's great with
the puck. Or you keep Kreider for another year, and you see what happens by the deadline. But I'd say he would most assuredly be gone by the deadline if they're not going to re-up him in the summer.
I'm
and we're probably going to have a Kevin
Hayes-like Rangers
situation.
I'm afraid the Rangers are going to be good enough where they think they can perform. Like, they're not going to trade any for anyone big. Like, I think Jeff Gordon knows that he's still in a rebuild, and if we do try to make the playoffs, like, maybe minor trades during the deadline, I'm just afraid that we're going to get nothing for him because they're going to realize we can't.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think they have four RFAs
at the end of next year. It's just – it's a tough call.
Yeah, And it's going to be a tough call up until they make the decision whether to re-sign or trade him. And I have a feeling the saga is not going to end for a little while. But it's still a very hot topic of debate, and the 20th pick is going to be very interesting to see what exactly the Rangers do decide to do with it. Now, there is another thing I would like to talk about here, and that is with the Columbus Blue Jackets being eliminated by the Boston Bruins, John Davidson is now free to talk to the New York Rangers. So do you think this hiring is as imminent as people are saying? Apparently, if you're reading into what's been going on, Davidson has been the choice from the beginning for the New York Rangers. They want John Davidson back running the show. They want him to be the president. They like the experience he has. And, I mean, everyone loves JD. I mean, even at 1994 championship celebration night, JD was getting some of the loudest cheers in the building. He is a beloved figure at Madison Square Garden. I personally think that this is going to be a thing of, hey, JD, coming for an interview? Okay, you're hired. I mean, it seems that way. They're not really interviewing. Yeah, it sounds like a formality. I mean, they're not really interviewing anyone else. There's no other names that have come up except for kind of Steve Yzerman and Mark Messier. Steve Yzerman decided to take the GM job in Detroit with Ken Holland moving on to Edmonton. Mark Messier doesn't seem like there really hasn't been anything else mentioned with him besides the original report. So this is honestly probably John Davidson's job to lose. So with that being said, Kevin, do you think John Davidson will be a nice fit as the president of the New York Rangers?
When it comes to the front office stuff, I'm not too keen on it. But from what you guys talk about, you know, just doing a little bit of research, and with the added benefit that Artemi Panarin could be a little enticed to come to New York.
There it is.
More,
see, there. The storyline gets added on.
And I won't be too angry about it. But, no, I mean, I really don't have that much to say on the matter. I like what he did for us. And I like that he could replicate it. It's just, I don't want someone like Mark Messier, and nothing against Mark Messier as a front office guy, as, you know, a player, a coach, or anything in that matter. It's just, he needs more experience. He needs more front office experience before I could even consider him for a president's job. It's like, it's just one of those things. You want someone with experience, especially in a rebuilding time, where it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do with these players.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to approach it. This is what we're going to do with scouting. This is what we're going to do with the draft. And, you know, ideally you're going to have him before the draft. You know, you have a month.
And remember, important thing to remember here is that Davidson has overseen a program in St. Louis. He's helped run the Blues, and he has helped run the Blue Jackets as well. He knows what he's doing. He's one of the people that made the decision for Columbus to pass on Jesse Puljujarvi and pick Pierre-Luc Dubois, so the guy knows his scouting stuff as well. I think it'll be a kind of one of these seamless fits where he'll let Gorton take care of the day-to-day, let Gorton do his job, but overall, they'll have a nice relationship when it comes to business matters. Joe, what do you think? Do you think do you think he's the correct hire for this team at this time in their rebuilding process?
Absolutely. Why would anyone think otherwise? I mean, you know, like you said, Russ, when whenever JD comes around, it's always, you know, beloved. He comes around and everyone just loses their mind. Now, if Mark Messier really wants to get taken seriously, he needs to pull the Steve Yzerman route, and he just needs to sit in the front office for a couple of years and just learn some things. You know, Yzerman did that, and then as he went through the Red Wings organization as like an advisor to the GM and all that, you know, you build up your acumen a little bit, you know, maybe work with the Canadian national team like Yzerman did. Yzerman did it the right way. So, you know, if Messier wants to end up getting that kind of spot, he needs to earn it. But JD, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. He knows the fans. He's very well versed in what he knows, and he's just all around a good fit. He's a good liaison to the owner, to, you know, Gorton. He's all for what the Rangers are doing, just from reading, you know, his reactions and how he's spoken about the team. So it really is. It's a no brainer, honestly.
Yeah, and hopefully soon. I don't think they would announce it, obviously, with the playoffs. You know, both conference finals are going on. So I think if they choose to announce it soon, it would be something like before the Stanley Cup final, or maybe wait until after the Stanley Cup final leading up into the draft, where we'd hear about something about Davidson. But I think Davidson would fit seamlessly. He let Gordon do his job, and like I said, they'd have a nice relationship moving forward throughout this rebuild and making sure the Rangers don't go off board with the second pick, which some people still fear.
I think the tweets just speak for themselves.
I think that's a good way of putting it. There's no
need to worry.
No, there's no need to worry. The Rangers will definitely pick one of those two. Whoever Ray Shiro does not pick, Jeff Gorton will pick the other one. And honestly, Ray Shiro's got more pressure on him because it's up to him to make sure he makes the right decision and doesn't help a division rival get better than his team. So, and not just any division rival. The division rival that is right across the river from him that can make problems for him every year, you know. So it's up to Ray Shiro. I mean, he's got all the pressure on him, so. We can't go wrong. We honestly are in the best position possible going into the draft. Do you guys have any closing thoughts before we sign off for the week?
Yes, I have a few, if that's okay.
Go ahead. Enjoy. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So I know the biggest concern for the Rangers right now is defense. Terrible year defensively. Every guy struggled except for really Tony DeAngelo. And that being said, we saw Lever Hayek come up, and he got hurt, of course. And, you know, you and I were talking about this, I think yesterday, Russ, or 2 days ago. I think it was, and, you know, we saw that he just, you know, he is a solid player. And, you know, it's harder to judge a defensive player, you know, on just that. And with the likelihood of Smith most likely getting bought out by the Rangers, they do have that buyout window to use. You know, how big of a role do you see Hayek playing, and even Adam Fox to a certain extent, you know, with, you know, shoring up the defense this year? You know, we have two more years till Keandre Miller comes. You don't know who we're going to pick in the first or second round. It could be a defenseman, but we do have Lindgren, Yegor Rykov in the mix. You know, all of these younger defensive prospects, and it's just, when do you bring these guys up? When do you decide just like, that's it? We're done fooling around. We'll take 50% of these guys' contracts, take Shattenkirk. You know, if Stahl wants to waive his no-movement clause, you trade Stahl, of course. And it's just, you know, their time is done. It's a youth movement now. But, like, when is the right time to do all of this?
It's a good point. It's a good point. But,
no, I'm asking
I don't
when?
Know.
Not, when, Russell?
No,
when?
I know. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Did I throw you off? I'm sorry. I thought
you
it
threw
was,
me a
little bit. We were just going to the flow today. We had no plan.
Good grief.
You threw me a little
Unless
bit.
Unless JL wanted to tackle it.
I think JL should tackle it first.
JL.
Tackle what exactly?
Basically, like, when do you start relying on the younger guys and just start to push those veterans down? In the defensive pairings.
Oh, immediately.
I mean,
absolutely.
You would say immediately. I mean, I don't know if you just want to throw
guys in and go.
Now, as much as I would like to see Kravtsov and Kako and these guys immediately thrown into the fire, part of me kind of wants to see them not immediately shoved onto the first line unless it's absolutely necessary and the team is starving for offense. I mean,
no, absolutely
you
not.
You don't want to see their confidence get shattered. I mean, because look, if you put these guys on the first line, right? If you had a first line, let's say for example, you put Kravtsov with Zibanejad and Kako, right? You make like a two rookies with Zibanejad first line. If they're not getting going, and then you're going to have to go against the first D pairs of all of these teams, you know, you're going to have to go against Char or Hedman or Riley or Shabbat or, you know, the list could go on and on. But, you know, you don't want guys' confidence to get destroyed right off the bat. I say start them in the middle six and kind of ease them into it. If that's kind of my take on it.
Well, okay. So, honestly, at this point, you really – the quicker you get them out there – the better. And I'm not saying just to throw them into the fire. The point I'm trying to make is that you supplement them with people who can support them. You know what I mean? So, you know, you could spread them amongst different lines. There's a lot of veterans on this team that would be, I'm sure, more than happy to play with these guys. So there's really no point in waiting anymore. The fact that they got the second overall pick really accelerates this rebuild. And if you end up getting a guy like an Artemi Panarin, or even on the lesser case, a Jeff Skinner, let's just say, you know, that's just an idea, but it's more than likely could be Panarin. You get a guy like that, then you can just throw him up there with the higher end guys and then have the younger guys tear it up on the lower ranks. It's not really, you know, the Rangers want to contend within the next 2 years. Judging off their attitude, judging off the way they've spoken about this whole process, and especially after they got the second overall pick, they want to get this thing moving quick, okay? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because the way Gordon has handled the youth movement on this team, he's given them so much depth that you can afford to move a little bit further. Because, again, you mentioned teams like Edmonton and Buffalo earlier. How many times are you going to have to pick early and get these players in order to really build a foundation? You know, you don't get experience by being sheltered. Yeah, you can play a guy in the AHL for a certain amount of time, or you could even throw him on the fourth line for so much. But at the end of the day, they got to end up, if you're getting these guys to be impact players, they have to play against other impact players, and that makes their game a lot better. It's kind of like facing a rival. You want to know what your rival does. You want to see them. You want to read them. You get better by playing better players. So I think you gradually build them up. You could throw a Kako on the third line with a Kratsov, or, you know, do whatever, or stick them with Zibanejad. But you got to get these guys in somehow. Filipito, perfect example. You stick them with a good guy like Zibanejad and Buchnevich, and what do you know? The guy absolutely kills it. This is the time. It's right now. This team is going to be good within the next day. They might even be halfway decent next year, because I honestly think the pure talent with David Quinn's no attitude, no nonsense BS attitude, get straight to the point kind of thing, supplements itself perfectly. I may be crazy. People think I'm nuts, but you know what? I honestly think I trust this organization. I think they do a fantastic job in their scouting and the development. They'll be fine.
It comes down to, honestly, Kevin, it comes down to if they prove themselves and they're showing that they earn those spots in the top six or even the top line, then I'm cool with it. If they're, I don't want them just put there just to be put there is the thing. That is what you want to avoid in a rebuild. You don't just want to shove people into roles they're not ready for. If they earn it and Kako and Kratsov and them are ready for the big time, beautiful.
I'm not saying shove them in immediately. I would love if we had the top six of guys 25 and younger plus Zibanejad. That would be a dream come true, because that means they're all just so fantastic. We really can't have no excuse. We have no excuse to put them lower. But my idea is, let's say you're away. Let's say we're playing at Philadelphia or literally any other arena besides Madison Square Garden where home team has less change. And you put out your third line of Kako, Kratsov, and like Hedl, for example. And whatever defensive pairings, whatever. And they throw out their best defensive pairing. They throw out their best defensive guys. That's how you know they're truly feared by another team. When another team is like, we have to put our best guys against these guys. That's when it's a threat. Not when we're at home and it's like, you know, let's put these guys out in an offensive opportunity against the good guys, maybe. Well, when they're scared at home ice and all they can do is put the top pair against these kids, then you know that they're made it. Then you know you throw them on the first line. You give them more ice time. But I guess I think we went a little off track of what I wanted to talk about, which was more defense-oriented, but it still applies, where it's like if they're putting out the best forwards against those guys, those defensive pairings, because it's like that's the only way we're going to beat them. So I just want them all to be good. I want to immediately start.
Them
just running. Charging out of the gate at full speed.
JL, any closing thoughts from you, my friend?
Any closing thoughts? Well, I kind of said a little bit there, but honestly, I think this team is going in the right direction, and I think they will surprise us. I'm pleasantly surprised at the way they've handled things, and hot take here, I think this team's going to turn some heads next year. I can't wait to see Kako and Kratsov and, you know, all these young guys just come in and just make an impact. Like, it's going to be such a breath of fresh air. So.
And so.
And also, I also want Erik Karlsson like really bad. So.
I promise that one of these shows leading up to the draft, we will let JL fully express his Erik Karlsson love. I promise you, it's coming, and it'll be here
it's
soon.
Not just, it's, we should just have him and Jim talk about Erik Karlsson for 60 minutes.
Look, I'm waiting for the signing so I can go on icejerseys.com and buy my Erik Karlsson 65 jersey. I'm waiting.
Once they got Boston, my worries about Erik Karlsson went away because they're not getting him. There's no reason to sign him. But
Ethan,
that we could table that.
Okay, okay.
How
we're saving
you?
This. We're saving this. I promise. We're tabling this. But yes, we will discuss that very, very soon. For jail, of course. So thank you for joining us this week, guys. Enjoy the World Championships. Hopefully Team USA figures out how to play hockey again. We'll be back. Have a good week. And as always, let's go Rangers.